G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Awesome. Verse 1. Oh, I found my phone too, by the way. Thanks, Tim. Thank you. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Give me an oi when you're there. All right, cool. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So I want to read that to you again, and I'm going to skip over verse 2 and 3 because I want to focus on verse 1, 4 and 5. So I just want you to get the flow of it, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? There are three features that are described in this passage. There's faith in Christ, there's being born of God, and there's being a world overcomer. And it's interesting that each feature leads on to the next. Like if you look at verse 1, whoever believes, that's have faith. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So when you have faith, you become born of God. These three features are all connected. If you're born of God, you're a world overcomer. And it says that in verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And if you're a world overcomer, then that means that you're a believer, you have faith in Christ. Verse 5 says, who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So it's interesting that there is this cycle, this constant cycle, that if you have faith in Christ, you're born of God. If you're born of God, you'll overcome the world. If you overcome the world, then you've got faith in Christ. But it's not just an endless cycle. It's also, it's interesting that every one of these three features points to the other two. If you have faith in Christ, it'll cause you to be born of God and it'll cause you to be a world overcomer. That's what it says there. If you're born of God, then you have faith in Christ and you've overcome the world. And if, well, actually, not if, but you can only overcome the world through faith in Christ and being born of God. So it's interesting that all three of these not only are in a cycle, but all three of them individually point to the other two. They're all interconnected. And the big thing that I want to see from this is it's really talking about your identity. It's talking about who you are. This scripture talks about, if you're a believer, this is for you. And it's saying, this is who you are. You're born of God. You're a world overcomer. You have faith. You don't just have any faith. You have the faith of Christ. Hey, that's who you are. This is just, it's revolutionary. This is something that I've been chewing on for months and months. Identity is one of the, I believe it's one of the major revelations that God wants us to get. You were praying, open the eyes of my heart This is one of the major revelations. If you can discover who you are, everything else flows from that. Success in your job, your promotions, your finances, your health, your relationships, everything flows out of who you are. And we're going to sort of really explore this a little bit this evening. He just won't leave me alone with this. I've just been chewing on this, and the more I think about it, the more it excites me, and the more I see this is just so, it's so fundamental, it's so, so important that we begin to grasp this. So, you know, I'm talking a little bit about identity. Identity is who you are. You are, if you're a believer, you are born of God. That's who you are. You are a believer. That's who you are. You are a world overcomer. Those three things, faith in Christ, you're a believer, born of God, that's who you are. And identity is all about who you are. I want to just explore a little bit about what identity is not, just so that we can become clear, and then we're going to look at how to discover who we are and sort of go a bit deeper into that. You know, when we talk about identity, identity is not found in how much you earn or how much you own. There's so many people that fall into this trap of materialism, thinking like, if I have the right sort of car, then I'm something. If I've got a really nice house, then I'm really going to be established. You know, this is materialism, and it'll lead you down a path that'll lead to nowhere. In fact, it'll lead you to a path of destruction, where you are constantly trying to fill your desires. Like, when is enough? It's like people complain, like, you know, my job, I hate my job. If I had more money. You know, they surveyed the top 5% of income earners in Australia, and they said, what are some of your greatest needs? And almost every one of them, in their top 10 needs, they said, I need more money. They're in the top 5%. See, but that's materialism. Materialism is like, when is enough is enough? When is it? When will you say? Because everybody's saying, you know, if I just had a bit more money. You know what would happen if you had a bit more money? You would spend a bit more money. And then it's like, man, if I had a bit more money. Well, you know, I need a bit more money, because then if I had more money, I could buy a bigger TV, because I hate my TV. It's only 55 inch. If I had a little bit more money, then I could buy that 80 inch full high definition with the one with the curve. And then you get that and you go, well, you know, that's nice, but I need a car to park in the driveway, you know, like, oh, you know, and I need more clothes, and I need better clothes. Like, I don't like these clothes, and you just keep going and going and going. And your identity is not defined by what you own, and don't fall into the trap where you think like, now I'm something because I've got a Pierre Cardin. You know, I'm wearing Hugo Boss. You know, or whatever it is. You know, like, don't fall into that trap. There's nothing wrong with wearing those things. I like nice clothes. In fact, this vest. This is the first time I've had this vest for 7 years, and I could never fit into it. Micah bought it for me 7 years ago, and I was too fat and I could not do the buttons up. Hey. And then I put it on today, and I've had to tighten it at the back. Hey, how good's that? Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with having good stuff and nice stuff. God wants, He wants to bless you. Hey, and He wants you to have good stuff, but don't define yourself by that. Don't think like, now I'm something, you know, like, you know, I've got a, you know, like, I've got a Toyota Prado, I'm something, you know, or whatever it is, you know, like, sorry, I was thinking, Jess and Andrew own a Toyota Prado. I wasn't having a go, you guys, that's awesome. Hallelujah. You know, materialism is a really sad substitute for Jesus, right? In fact, Jesus actually said in Luke 12:15, he said, your life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. So don't try to define it through that. But your identity, it's not just found in, it's, we don't look at what we own, but it's also about what we earn. Don't define yourself by how much money you make. Some people place their value and their worth based on what their income is, what their salary is. And so it's like some people are embarrassed because they don't earn as much as others do, and they don't, you know, they don't like to talk about those sorts of things. Don't find your identity in what you earn. Don't find your value in that. You know, like, if you don't earn, as you know, like, how much should you be earning? Oh, well, you know, like the average wage is $60,000. So if I was earning something close to that, maybe that, well, how close? What if you're $1,000 off? Is that all right? Oh, yeah, that would be all right. What if it was $1,020? Would that be all right? Where do we draw the line with that? You know, what I've discovered, and I'm just going to share from you, and this is a scriptural principle, but I have discovered that if you take the things that I'm sharing, and particularly you don't find your identity in what you own or what you earn, you find your identity in Him, and then I'm going to get into that, right? You will find you'll start to own nice stuff, and you will find you'll start to earn good money. All of these things will just come to you because you're not chasing them. Jesus actually said, chase the kingdom and those things will chase you. Amen. Amen. And I can certainly put my hand up and say, yes, that's true. My life is totally different from when I started. So your identity is not found in how much you earn or what you own or anything. Your identity is not found in what you do. What you do will grow out of who you are. And I'm going to come to that. I'm going to explain that in a little bit. But, you know, if I asked you a question, who are you? I wonder what your response would be. For a lot of people, if you say to them, well, who are you? They would say things like, well, I'm a builder. I'm a teacher. I'm an engineer. I'm a housewife. I'm an accountant. I'm a cleaner. I'm a prophet. I'm an apostle.
Wow.
Oh, I'm a laborer. That's not who you are. That's what you do. Don't define yourself by what you do. Don't find your identity in what you do. You know, there's so many problems that can come as a result of trying to identify yourself by what you do. What if you think you're really something because you're an engineer, or you think you're really something because you're a doctor? So what happens if you lose your job? Well, who are you now? Does that mean you're nothing? Can you see the danger of trying to identify yourself through what you do? You don't look at what you do and say, that's me. No, that's what you do. That's not who you are. There's a wonderful story of a man called Dave Dravecki. I shared this a few months ago at church. And Dave Dravecki was a baseball player, a very famous baseball player in the USA. He played for the San Diego Padres and the San Francisco Giants in the 80s. And he, you know, I mean, I wasn't a follower. I'm still not a follower of baseball, but like, apparently he broke records. He was a pitcher. He pitched a ball and broke tremendous records and led his teams to great victories and things. And he had a really interesting journey when, at the height of his career, he got struck with cancer of the shoulder. And they had to remove his pitching arm. He was a left-hander. But let me read something from his biography. He said, my arm caught the attention of the entire school when, as a teenager, I pitched my first no-hitter. Later, my ability to provide for my family was not based on how smart I was or how hard I worked. It was based solely on what my arm could do on game day. When people talked with me, it was the centre of conversation. How's the arm today, Dave? Is your arm ready for tonight? My arm was to me what hands are to a concert pianist. What feet are to a marathon runner. It's what made me valuable. It's what gave me worth in the eyes of the world. And then suddenly, one day, my arm was gone. You know, he's there in the hospital and they've removed his arm and his shoulder, and there are tears that are streaming down his eyes because he's questioning, who am I now? I was Dave Dravecki, the pitcher. See, there's the danger of finding your identity in what you do. Now, he was struggling to find, well, who am I? What worth do I have? Everybody recognized me for this, but now I can't do this. And as he lay for a number of days in that hospital bed, he actually came to a faith in Christ. And he discovered that his value was in who he is and in what God thought of him, not in what he did. And then he wrote a poem. And so I'm going to read it out. He says, I once believed that what I did placed value on my worth. And walking where great men have walked, I saw my dream give birth. But dreams don't always last through life. In fact, they often die. The day I watched my dream pass on, all alone stood I. And in the searching of my soul, God gave to me new peace. Today I'm living other dreams, the kind that will not cease. In Jesus' eyes, I'm valued so much greater than I see. My worth is not in what I do, it's in Christ's death for me. Have you discovered who you really are? What if we stripped away all the titles, all the positions, all of your possessions? Who are you? Have you discovered the incredible value and worth you have in God's eyes? And the yearning desire he has to lead you into amazing adventures. Your identity is not in what you do. It's in who you are. Don't focus on being a doer as much as just being a beer. Just be who God wants you to be. And you'll find you'll automatically do what God wants you to do. It's just so simple. You know, like we put the cart before the horse. And, you know, we're so busy. Our life just gets so busy. And we've got to pick up the kids. And then we've got to do this. And we've got a commitment here. We've got a commitment there. And we fill our lives with so much activity. We've got no time to think and no time to slow down. No time to be. You'll find if you start to discover who you are and you just be, you'll start to work smarter rather than harder. God will give you insight in doing things, and things that once took you hours to do will take, it'll shave it like by half, or it'll shave it by more. He will give you insight into these things. It's fun. I have more time now, even though I'm busier now, because I'm discovering this truth of I'm going to focus on being rather than doing. I remember years ago the Lord really brought this to my attention and was trying to communicate this to me, and I couldn't, like, I was working as a school chaplain in a high school, and it's just busy. That you're always on the move, you're always doing things. There's always kids that want to see you, or staff that want to meet with you, and parents that want to talk to you, and it's just like one thing after another, and God was just talking to me, I want you to focus on being and not on doing. And my chaplaincy was very, very fruitful, particularly, in a number of ways, but it was very fruitful in seeing numbers of people come to Christ every year with very... I remember there was this one chaplain that came to me, like, I know he'd been a chaplain for a few years, and he came to me, he said, guess what? And I said, what? And he said, one of the students in my school gave their life to Christ. And I said, that's awesome, you know, and we rejoiced and stuff. And he said, yep. He said, oh, he said, I've been praying for this for so long. He said, that's my first one. And I was shocked. Like, he'd been on the job for 3 years. Look, you know, like, he had other gifts and other talents, and I don't want to attack him, but it shocked me because, like, it was so easy and simple for me as a chaplain to see people come to Christ, like, every year. But getting back to my story, like, when the Lord began to speak to me about this, see, because I was a doer, I would be reaching out, inviting kids, come on this camp. We've got a Scripture Union camp coming along, and they would have encounters with God, and they'd come to Christ, and then they'd begin to share their faith with their friends, and their friends would come to Christ, and it just would just carry on. So as God began to talk to me about stop focusing on doing, start focusing on being. So I said, all right, I am not going to share about Jesus with anyone. I'm just going to be who you want me to be. Let's see what you can do now, God. You know, like, I was just, because he was just on my case. So I said, all right, let's see what you got. So I just focused. And just, you know, one of the first things I noticed? That was just a real peace. Wow. This is so easy. I can just be who God wants me to be. There was a group of boys that the school had asked me to work with. These were like, These guys were notorious in the admin for all the wrong reasons, all right? They were constantly being suspended and stuff, and the school had said to me, can you do something with them? You know, they're just like playing up in class and stuff. And I sort of, there was this program that I was in the midst of developing, so I inserted him into it. And what I would do is I would meet with them as a group every week and just, we would do fun stuff. Right, what they saw as fun stuff, and it was all with a view to build relationship. And then I would take them, like, once a term, I would take them on a wilderness camp somewhere out in the wild, and like not some controlled structure where you go and sleep in cabins. We were just out in the bush, no tents, just in the bush. There's no civilization. I didn't have to worry about them insulting anyone because there was just no one for miles around, and so I was just, this was my test case, you know, like I was just saying, I'm just going to be who God wants me to be. And I'd been working with these boys for probably about 6 months at this stage, and I took them on this bushwalk. We went as far as the car would take us, and then we left the cars and we walked into the bush. There was no tracks, there was no paths. We just walked, and we'd been there before because a guy had taken us in. In the middle of the bush, there's these rock pools and waterfalls and stuff. No one knows it's there, and so we had it all to ourselves. And so we had a great few days, and they had to carry all their own gear. And anyway, I remember this one at the end of this day, we'd done a lot of walking, and I was just really tired, and it was a cold night, and I was a fairly notorious snorer. So I sort of moved all my gear right away from the campfire because I thought, you know, I'm just going to upset everyone. And I tried to tell them, look, you know, like, it's a gift God's given me, you know. It's a dingo deterrent. That's what I'm doing. I'm staying awake, producing these animal noises to scare all the beasts away. So I moved my stuff away, and I was just ready to fall asleep. And one of these guys, who was like the ringleader of the whole group, and just a really not a nice kid, you know. Like I remember when I saw his name on the list, and the school said, "Can you work with him?" I thought, oh. So anyway, I'm in my sleeping bag, and I'm just ready. And then this guy, Tom, he said, "Hey, Les, can I ask you a question?" Oh, I didn't. I just wanted to go to sleep. It was cold. I was in my sleeping bag. So anyway, so I turned around and I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, okay, what is it?" So he's probably about 10 meters. He's by the campfire and I'm sleeping. And he said, "Who or what is God?" And so we started having this conversation. And then as we started having this conversation, he got so engaged. It was a cold night. He left the campfire and he came and sat by my sleeping bag so he could talk with me more. And then as we continued, like, over the space of 5 or 10 minutes, one by one, every single camper left the campfire and they came and they sat around me. And we just talked about spiritual things. And I went, right into all of the things that I would love to share with anyone that wants to know about Jesus, and they're asking me. I had this awesome conversation for probably a couple of hours, and then I was just really exhausted. I said, hey guys, I said, look, I think we just need to go. Well, I need to go to sleep. You guys can just keep chatting around the campfire. So anyway, so they left me and they went back to the campfire, and I just lay down. I was so thankful. I said, thank you, God. I said, just being who God wants me to be, just produced, you know. And then just as I fall asleep, this guy told me, he goes, hey, Les, can I just ask you one more question? Oh, yeah, all right, Tom, what is it? And he said, if I wanted to give my life to Jesus, what do I do? This is a guy who just a couple hours earlier was saying, who or what is God? And now he understands and has grasped some of these things to the stage where he's asking me this fairly informed question. How do I give my life to Christ? I told him, I didn't lead him to the Lord that night. Because I was just determined, God, I'm just going to be who you want me to be. But you know, by the end of that year, almost every one of those boys had given their hearts to the Lord. Almost every one of them had given their hearts to Christ. And then they began to be the talk of the admin in another way. Amen. Hallelujah. Your identity is not found in what you do. It's not found in how much you earn. It's not found in what you own. So where do we find our identity? Where can we find it? We find it in Christ. Have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. Yeah, give me an oi when you're there. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, notice it says in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is talking about who you are. If you're a believer, this is talking about who you are. It says, if anyone is in Christ, hands up if you're in Christ. Then it says, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. Your identity is found in Christ. I would encourage you, just do a little search. You know, like most of you will have like Bible apps on your phone, and they probably will have some sort of search engine on it. You can do a little search, just the phrase in Christ. You will be amazed at what it tells you about who you are. Because God has placed us in Christ. And you can do a little search and begin to find these amazing nuggets. Let me read you some of the ones that I just did, just in the space of 2 minutes, a 2 minute search. Romans says that our redemption is in Christ. So if you're in Christ, you've been redeemed, you've been purchased, you've been saved from destruction. Romans 6 says eternal life is in Christ. Romans 8 says there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. This is all about who you are and what belongs to you as a result of who you are. The Spirit of life is found in Christ. You are sanctified in Christ. You have triumph in Christ. Every one of us are sons of God in Christ. That is not a gender-specific term. Women can be sons of God just as much as men can be sons of God. It's not gender-specific. The Scripture says you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. I would encourage you, do a little search through your Bible. Look for that phrase, in Christ, and begin to read and discover who you really are, because that you'll begin to get a picture of who you are. But it's not just found in Christ. Your identity is also found in the Word of God. In the Word of God, just by reading the Word, you can begin to discover and you'll begin to see yourself. I want to show you an example of where this happened. Then I want to give you some examples in my own life. But look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16. So this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it says, so he, talking about Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he said some famous words that nearly caused him to be thrown off a cliff. And he said to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I want you to notice in verse 17, when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. It was a scroll. Back in those days, the scriptures were written in scrolls. They were usually animal skin that had been dried and cured, and then they would flatten it right out, and they would write on that on these things and then roll them up. And so he was handed one of the scrolls of Isaiah, and he opened it, and it says, when he was handed the book, it says, when he had opened the book, he found where it was written. He didn't just open to some random place. He looked for a specific place, and then he began to read from there. Why did he need to find this specific place? Because he found who he was when he read the word. This is talking about the Christ. It's talking about the anointed one. And so he began to read, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, and he has sent me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. He was talking about himself. I believe he was getting pretty excited as he was talking, because he'd probably read this dozens and done probably hundreds of times, because he found himself in the scriptures. That's me. That's who I am. That's me. How can you discover who you are? Spend time in the Word of God. Amen. You'll begin to find yourself in the Word, just like Jesus found himself in the Word. I'll give you a couple of examples where, how it's happened to me. I remember one time about 10 years ago, my back seized up, and I had to just constantly be lying down. If I even just sat up or stood up, I couldn't stand up for more than 30 seconds. I just had to sit. I could sit, and it was painful, but it was easier for me to lie down. I couldn't walk. Don't worry about it. I could barely stand, let alone walk. And to make matters worse, I had one of these camps that I was taking a group of boys in, like out in the wilderness, where we were going to carry like these 40, 50 kilo backpacks next week. You know, like it was about 6 days away. I could not even stand for more than, like, I'm not joking, like more than 30 seconds, it would just be painful, and I just had to sit or lie down. I was thinking, I don't want to cancel this. I don't want to cancel this camp. And so I just began to quieten myself down, and I said, God, I need your help. How do I navigate through this? I understood it was God's will for me to be well. You understand that, don't you? God's will for you to be well. He'll never, doesn't ever want you to be sick. Not ever. And I said, I just need your help with this. I'm not sure. You know, like, it's 6 days away. The parents have already paid for the camp. I've already issued backpacks to the kids. You know, like, if I'm going to call a cancellation, I need to do it sooner rather than later. But I don't want to cancel. And I really quietened myself, and I really felt in my heart, you don't need to cancel. You'll be all right. I didn't feel all right. And, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure if I went and saw some sort of medical advisor, he probably would have said, the last thing you want to do is carry a 50-kilo backpack when your back's playing up like that. I didn't want to ask a medical advisor. I already had a medical advisor, and he's the best medical advisor, and he was saying, you're going to be all right. And I said, well, what do I do about this? And I found myself in the Word. This is the point I'm getting to. How do you find who you are? The Word of God. there was a scripture, an obscure scripture. I'd never ever heard this scripture used in connection with healing. But when I read it, I saw myself and my condition in that scripture. And I saw myself healed. So I want to read you that scripture. You don't need to turn there, but it's in Romans 8 and verse 11. And it says, "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit." And when I read this, I thought, that's it. That's me. That's who I am. The Spirit of God dwells in me. And he's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And if he dwells in me, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to my mortal body. I thought, that's it. I'm done. I'm healed. I didn't feel healed. I didn't feel any better, but I just knew. I found myself, just like Jesus found. I found myself. I said, that's me. That's me. And sure enough, it wasn't an instantaneous healing, but within a couple of days, I was up walking around. Within 3 days, I was back. Well, actually, it was a weekend anyway. It was a Friday when I got it, so I had a couple of days off. And then by the Monday, I was ready and able to go to work. And then a couple of days later, when it was time to go on the camp, we went on the camp. Did not have a single problem on the camp. Not one little, not even a little niggle or anything like that. Went through the camp and had an awesome time. Your identity is found in the Word of God. But it means you've got to quieten yourself down and just allow the Spirit of God to show you something. As you just begin to read His Word, He'll begin to show you things and you'll find yourself in there. And I'll give you another example. There was one time where, I don't want to go into all the details, but there was one time where Joy and I were in a real financial crunch. God had spoken to us and told us to go to the USA and attend this conference, and we'd booked the tickets and that was fine, and we needed like all the rest of the money. It was going to cost us about $7,000, and we'd booked the tickets 3 months earlier, and it's 8 days before we're due to leave, and we needed $7,000. We'd been believing for 3 months. Not a cent, not a brass razu had come in. We bought our tickets, like we believed God for that, and the money came in for that, and we paid for it. We thought, that's it. Now we've got 3 months to believe for the rest. This is going to be a piece of cake for Jesus. And we're just like standing and believing and praising and doing all the things that we know, and nothing's coming in, nothing. It came to 8 days to go, and we needed $7,000 in 8 days. We hadn't told anybody. I would encourage you, you know, if you're in a situation where you have a financial need, you don't need to go advertising it. Learn to lean on Christ. Learn that God is your supply. Man, he can pay you in planets. Hey, if you had pockets big enough, he could pay you. Like, he's not short of finances. He is not short of it. And the reason I'm saying don't go advertising it is if you learn to lean on Him in the easy times, you'll know how to lean on Him in the hard times, eh? Amen. And you'll see it come in, and you won't have a lot of hard times. There will be times from time to time it will come. Anyway, we were just determined. We're not going to tell anybody about our situation. Everybody at church was just thinking like, wow, you guys must be excited. You're going like in 8 days. We go, hey man, it's going to be awesome. All we had was the tickets. That's all we had. And like, now the devil's really trying to get in my head, going like, what are you going to do? You're going to land in Dallas Airport and you guys are going to sleep there for 3 weeks in Dallas Airport. What was that Tom Hanks movie? Oh, yeah. where he was just like stuck in that airport for a week. And I was like, we didn't have enough money even for our travel insurance. We didn't have enough money for food and nothing. And it was easy in that situation to just say, you know what, it's just not going to happen. Like, it's already been 3 months. Like, if it was going to happen, surely it would have happened by now. Like, let's just get real, you know, let's just call it what it is and just forget about it. I just remember Joy said, well, what should we do? And I said, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. I said, do you believe God wants us to go? And she said, well, I thought I did. And I said, well, what's changed? I said, nothing's changed. Anyway, it did look like the pressure was very, you know, it was really strong, you know, and so I just quietened myself. I need, you know, sometimes you've got to do this. When you're in a pressure situation, sometimes you've just got to shut some things down and get quiet. Because your circumstances will scream at you, dude, do something, do something, do something. And sometimes you just got to stop and just say, God, just show me what I need. Show me what I need. And so I did. I just said, Lord, you know, like, our eyes are on you. We know that you're aware of this situation and we know that this is as good as done. And we're not moving from it. But if there's something you want to speak to me, I'd probably like something from you. And he gave me this scripture. I found myself in a scripture. I'm talking to you about how you can find your identity. You find it in the Word of God. There was this scripture that leaped out. As soon as I read it, I saw, that's us. That's us right now. I'm going to read the scripture. You'll probably see no connection with money, no connection with how to get to the USA and pay for your accommodation and all the other things. But as soon as I read it, I found myself. I thought, that's it. This is done. This is done. The scripture is Psalm 118, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." And as soon as I read that, I thought, that's it. That's it. And I looked at Joy, I said, we're going. I said, we're going. And she said, well, we need money. And I said, yeah, it's done. I said, we're going. And sure enough, you know, like a couple of days later, we were at church and everybody at church prayed for us and wished us well. Nothing had manifested, you know. It's now like 6 days to go. Nothing had manifested. And then over the next 6 days, like after that Sunday, on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right, the next 6 days, it was like it was pouring in from every possible way, like unexpected ways, just crazy ways, ridiculous ways. Like there was a lady that rang me. I used to be a maths tutor, and she rang me and she said, listen, you've come recommended to me. My son needs some tutoring. He's going to come into Year 12 and can you tutor him in maths? And I said, well, I really don't have time. I'm going overseas in 6 days. She said, look, you tell me how much you want. I'll bring him to your place between now and when you leave. You don't have to go anywhere. I'll bring him. And she was paying me hundreds of dollars to do like several sessions with her son. And it was just all these different ways. And it was just money is just coming in. And so we had the accommodation. We had the car hire. We had the travel insurance. You know, it was just like, and it was still coming in. We got on our plane. We took off. I landed in Los Angeles. I thought, I'm just going to check the bank. Check the bank. I said, you know what? We've been flying like another $300 has come in, you know. Then we caught another flight to Dallas. I checked my balance when we got to Dallas. I said, well, another $150 has come in. You know, like, it just kept coming in. We got over and above the $7,000. But, you know, it's because we found ourselves in the Word of God. Your identity can be found in the Scriptures, just like Jesus found himself in the Word of God. Hey, I want you to notice, when Jesus found where it was written, it described who he was. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. But it didn't just reveal who he was, it also revealed what he was meant to be doing. Your identity is directly linked to your destiny. If you have no idea what you're meant to be doing in your future, it's only because you don't have any idea who you are. Because the more you discover who you are, the more clearly you will see what you're meant to be doing. Jesus himself did that. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And as he's reading it, he's saying, this is not just who I am, this is what I'm doing too. I'm going to proclaim liberty to the captives. I'm going to open blind eyes. I'm going to preach good news to the poor. The more you discover who you are, the more you'll recognize what you're meant to do. Hey, because they are just interlinked. And you need to understand, the devil understands that. And he will try to keep you in the dark about who you really are. Because he knows if he can confuse you about who you are, you will never discover what you're meant to do. There is a multitude of people who are living their life and dying, never ever accomplishing not even a scratch of what they were meant to do. Because they never discovered who they were. He tried to do it with Jesus. Do you remember when he got baptized in the River Jordan? And then the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days. And then after 40 days, the devil came along and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And that's a pretty low act when you've been fasting for 40 days. So that's just, you know, fresh bread. Whoa. That's got a fragrance of its own, doesn't it? I used to be a youth pastor in a church down in Melbourne, and it was next door to a bakery. Right? And different days they would make different things. And when you smell that wonderful bread being baked, you know, I used to fast once a week back then, and it was on Friday. And every Friday, this bakery, it was pie day. They would make pies, meat pies. And I'm fasting, and it's like, oh man, let's just like, I never ever thought, like, why don't you just fast a different day? Then you could just go and eat a pie. But it's, you know, the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And then he took him to a high place. He said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Where did he get that idea? Why is he saying that? If you read in Matthew where that occurs, just a few verses earlier, it's in the previous chapter, but it's only a few verses earlier, right? By the River Jordan, Jesus is being baptized and God declares, "This is my Son with whom I am pleased." That's where the devil heard it. And so a few verses later, Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. Yeah, are you really the Son of God? See, why was he doing that? Because he knew if I can confuse him about who he is, he'll never accomplish what he's meant to do. And it works exactly the same with you and with me as well. Hallelujah. You know, it's such a freeing thing just to discover who we are in Christ. Let me go back. I want you to go back to this scripture in John, 1 John chapter 5, the one we started with. You know, a big part of just spending time with God and spending time in the Word is, if you really want to discover who you are, spend time in the Word discovering who God is. Because when you discover who God is, you start to discover who you are. It's phenomenal. When you see that God's your Father, you start to recognize you're his Son. When you see that God is love, you start to recognize you're not condemned. When you see that God is unstoppable, you're going to see that you're destined to win. The more you discover about who God is, the more you'll begin to recognize who you are, because you're just connected. He's taken us. We don't deserve any of the things he's done, but he's taken us and he's placed us in Christ. The things that we have been privileged to experience and to have in our lives, not even angels have been privileged to have and experience those things. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to come to that scripture in just a moment, but I want to share something that happened to me probably a number of years ago, where these things that I'm talking about just completely revolutionized my life, where I began to discover who God was, and it began to change who I was as a result of that. I'd been a Christian, it was in the early 90s, I'd been a Christian for over 10 years. I'd been a youth pastor. I'd done a number of different things, and it had been great. And I remember 1992, it was just a different year, hey, and a number of things had happened. And anyway, a number of leaders at this church we were attending had asked us to help be part of a church plant. And so we went, and we were helping this church plant, and this guy who was planning the church, he decided he was going to do a series on prayer, and it was videos. It was back in the days of videos, and so he was playing these videos every Sunday for about 6 weeks, and I was really interested because I kind of felt like I just don't understand enough about prayer, you know, so I thought, I'm going to go. And so I went along, and this first session, it was very informative video and stuff, and then at the end of it, the pastor turned off the video and he said, all right. He said, well, let's practice what we've just been taught. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you can be at church and you just get in entertainment mode. Like, yeah, I'll just sit here. I'm comfortable. I don't want to move. I don't want to do anything. Just do what you got to do out the front. And I was pretty much in that. And this pastor was saying, come on, let's all get into some prayer then. Let's pray. And, oh, I didn't feel like it. I wanted to go home. I thought, the video was good. Let's just go home. And anyway, he was just saying, come on, everybody stand up. He said, we're going to get into that you've been talking about praise. And so he said, let's all stand up. We're going to practice this. And so I said, all right. I stood up. I just started praising. Everybody was just kind of doing their own thing. And I just started praising. I just said, well, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you that I belong to you and you've forgiven me. And I was pretty bored with what I was doing. And I was struggling because leading up to then, I'd really struggled with condemnation. That's another whole story, but I never felt that I was valuable, even though I'd been a Christian for a number of years by that stage. I still struggled with this. I struggled with really knowing, was I valuable? And I kind of felt like God tolerated me, you know, but most of the time he just looked at me like, you know, like kind of like that. I kind of constantly felt like that's how heaven felt towards me. And so that was part of the reason why I was like, yeah, you love me. Thank you, Lord. You know, because I kind of felt like, no, I can't see why he would love me. It wasn't like I felt like God was unfair. I felt like he was completely just because I could see so many faults in my life. And so I struggled with that. Anyway, something inside me just said, come on, why don't you really get into this? And I didn't feel like it because I didn't feel worth being loved. But I just thought, no, all right, well, I'm going to put some effort. I said, look, Lord, you do love me, and I thank you that you do love me, and I thank you that I belong to you, and I just thank you that my sins are forgiven. I was really, and it was like all of my emotions was just saying, dude, you know this is not true. You know this is not real. You're saying things that you struggle with, and you know, look at all the things you failed to do. Just stop this right now. So that's what my emotions were saying. But I'm pushing through that. I'm trying to ignore it. And I'm saying, thank you, Father. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're just always with me. And you've never, ever thought worse of me. And I'm saying these things. And all of a sudden, it completely took me by surprise. It was like somebody had opened this massive, vat or tank or something and poured this like liquid, this warm gooey liquid, and it began to fall on my head and come all over. I didn't see anything, but I felt something. I felt this warmth come over me, and as it went over me, all of a sudden it's like my eyes were opened, and I said, my God, you do love me. My God, you think I'm awesome. Oh, God, you think I'm so bad. God, you've forgiven every sin. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfect. And I was like, I'm starting to yell this. I'm completely oblivious, like, to what is going on around me. And tears are streaming down. I was just like overwhelmed. Like, I'd never felt this love, this like pure love. Like, how could you doubt this? And I was like, I was just drinking it. And I was crying and I was just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I don't know how long it had been going. I'm guessing maybe 10 minutes or something. And the pastor said, okay, well, we're going to wrap it up there. And I went, what? I thought, he's going to switch this off. You can't switch this off. And I thought everybody was experiencing this. I never thought that it was just me. I just thought everybody was feeling this. So when he said, okay, we're going to wind it up, you know, like, just finish it up. We're going to round it up. Now, I went like, and I'm looking at everybody like, anybody agree with me? Like, we should, and like, everybody's going like, okay, you know, and they're all going to sit down. I'm going like, I don't want to stop. And like, in myself, I said, God, please don't go away. I have to sit down. I said, please don't go. Like, it was a desperation. I'd never experienced anything like this. And I sat down and I said, oh, just get it over with. Just finish the service. I need to get out of here. You know, and anyway, he said a few things and he dismissed us and people went for a coffee. I just went straight into the car. I got in the car and I said, God, are you there? And again, that thing just flooded me. And I just began to drive. I probably shouldn't have driven because I was just like, I was crying so much. It was like, it was really hard to see the road. And but I'm just driving. I almost didn't care. I didn't even think about it because I just thought, if I have an accident, I'm going to heaven anyway. I'm going to go with him. Who cares? And so I'm just driving. And I got home. And I remember Joy was at home and she was watching TV. I did not feel like watching TV. And she said, how was the meeting? And I said, I didn't know what to tell her. So I said, yeah, it was good. I said, do you mind? I'm just going to go in our room. I just feel like I need to spend time with God. Is that all right? And she said, yeah, that's fine. I just went in the room. You know, I just couldn't get enough of it. It was like this, the best drug I'd ever had. You know, like, I'd never had a drug. Eh? Well, not the illicit type anyway. But it was just like, and it got to like midnight, you know, like Joy had come to bed, so I went into the lounge. I didn't want it to stop. And it's like, I'm looking at, and it's midnight, I've got to get up at 4:30, and I've got to go to work. And I'm going, oh man, I need to get some sleep. I said, please God, don't go away. I said, I need to go to sleep. Please don't go away. You know, and so I went to sleep. I woke up 4:30, the alarm went. As soon as the alarm went, the first thing I said is, God, are you there? And again, that presence just came, and it was just the most wonderful. And over the next number of months, he just visited me in a way that I just can't describe, but it opened my eyes to a number of things. But one of the biggest things that opened my eyes to is who he is. And as I discovered who he is, I began to discover who I am. I began to see he is my father. That means I'm his son. I'm related to him. He's a winner. If I'm like him, then I'm a winner. You know, so many of these things that I didn't understand and I didn't know how to break through and stuff. So many of these things just began to fall off me and change me. I used to find it so hard to talk to people because I felt like I was, felt like a loser. I felt like I was so scared that people would discover, like, you're an idiot, you know? And so, and it would just freeze me up and I couldn't be myself. And now I'm finding myself just openly talking to people and it was like, this happened, it didn't happen overnight, but it happened over a number of weeks and a number of months. And look, I'm just trying to say, when you begin to discover who God is, you begin to discover who you are. So let's finish with that scripture. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. And then verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who are you? Well, this scripture says you are a believer. It says you are born of God. And it says you are a world overcomer. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't feel like any of that, but that doesn't matter what you feel. It just starts with you just starting to agree with God and saying, well, okay, if that's what you say. That's how it happened to me. Remember what I've just shared with you? I had to start agreeing, God, you love me. You have forgiven me. I didn't feel forgiven. I didn't feel loved. But it was as I started to agree with what God said about me and ignore what I felt, I started to discover who God is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Micah, can you just get some music on? Yeah, I really believe this message has really resonated with a number of people. And you know, I know this is just our first session of our conference, but I just believe, you know, the Lord, God's doing some open heart surgery. And I believe that will continue on for this weekend.